Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Getting Out Alive. Now, before I even dive into what we're going to talk about today, this is hard for me to get here. As the years go by and the more I address the subject at hand today and try to tie it to some other things, I wish this would just go away. I wish the whole pro-life, pro-death, abortion, baby thing would just go away. And sometimes I just like, you know what? I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about it. I just recently pulled up, and this is one of the astonishing things to me about everything that makes the internet, everything that makes television, every documentary, every medical anything. How many of you on television or cable have ever seen a video, a live video from the inside or the examination room of an abortion? If you have ever seen that, you have seen an abortion and what really happens. Put the hands up one more time. That's not a lot of people. I do not think they could put that on national TV and there not be a complete uproar of seeing a child taken out in that way. Now you say, okay, well, you're going to go there. Now here's my other dilemma. And even praying about what do I talk about and why I make this issue. The longer I live also and the more I spend time with women and men up and down these rows and people in this room, the more horrified I am to even go here. Because statistically, the probability of someone listening in this room or beyond here and saying, I can't do this, I can't sit through another one of these, it's too painful, I think about it all the time, I think about it once a year, I can't even drive certain places, whatever triggers this for you, this is not a beat up the women Sunday, okay? If you had any idea, if you really don't understand, if you had any idea how much mercy and how much grace and how much forgiveness and how powerful his blood being shed is in terms of anything you can come up with. And people say, well, what if I've committed the unpardonable sin? Having an abortion is not that. And people say, well, how do you know if you've committed it, the unpardonable sin? I say, you wouldn't be asking. You wouldn't care. Because if you've crossed that line, you're gone. So for the women listening today, and even men, I talk to men, sit down and talk, and they find out years later they got a girl pregnant. They didn't even know she was pregnant. Somehow somebody said something. The girl lost the baby, took care of that, and he now is grieving because he lost a child he didn't even know he had. And then so it's not just women, it's men, the whole process. So this is not a pleasant day for me, but truth in general is not an easy thing to address. And if you don't put it out there and you don't talk about it, it just kind of goes away. And people go, well, I guess that's not a big deal anymore because no one will talk about it and we can't change it anyway. That's not how this works. I believe we still have to talk about it. I tell people, and I still hold to this, I'm a one-issue voter until this one issue is no longer an issue. And I don't say that I understand what God is thinking or what's going on that throne, but I do not see how that you can look down on a nation or on a world. This is not something just unique to our nation. Look down on a planet where we have lost our minds enough to say, because we have decided that this little thing is not a person until we decide it. I mean, if you go look up the law on like spotted owls and condors and stuff, you destroy a fertilized egg of a spotted owl, you're going to jail. But there's no life there, right? It's just an egg. But we will raise Cain over birds and cats and dogs and everything else, but human beings, because of our sin, are off the table. We can't talk about that. Now, you say, well, that's going on. You're not going to change that. That's just life. In this physical life and death battle, millions of unborn babies are just trying to get out alive. And I think without even knowing it, you know, obviously I don't know what little babies know. If you see the film and do the research and see what is said, in the middle of an abortion, that baby is screaming inside there because it does feel. And if you think it doesn't feel, then why are you being so careful carrying your baby around to not bump it or do something to harm that child? There's a person in there. So these babies are alive. They do feel something. And instinctively, there is a moment where they're trying to just get out. And the assumption is that they're going to get out alive. They're going to make it. If something, some complication, something doesn't go wrong, all kind of things can happen and a child's life can be lost. I understand that. But to deliberately go in there and take someone's life is just mind-boggling. In the spiritual life and death battles, millions of people are trying to get out alive in terms of this planet. And the only way to accomplish this is to be reborn. And as I thought through this whole process, we think, well, this is such a terrible thing. We've got this human being trapped in this place, this dark place, and they've got to get out or they will not live. They will not make it. And in a spiritual sense, the planet itself is almost a giant dark womb in which you are born into physically, you live, and spiritually at some point, if you are not reborn in this life, you don't get out alive. And I'm going to read you a bunch of verses to this point. Go to John chapter 10. And if you go back and listen to the hundreds and hundreds of messages I've done that are recorded, you're going to hear this verse over and over and over. John chapter 10, verse 7, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the New Testament. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Or you may have a translation that says, "and have it to the full." Go down to verse 27, the same chapter. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." And look what he says. This is Jesus speaking here this whole time. "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me, he is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And there are people, and I was one of these people for years. I became a Christian as a small boy and then questioned it from then on till I was 20-something years of age, because I would do something and what I was doing, my behavior, caused me to question and say, if I am really a Christian, how could I be habitually involved in these behaviors? So I started thinking, maybe I didn't get it at all. Whether you're 6 years old, 4 years old, 40 years old, once you cross the line, once you make a commitment and say, "God, I understand that Jesus died on that cross, was buried and raised from the dead to save my soul, to save me, to get me out of here alive, that no matter what happens between this moment that I accept this gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of my sins, that I realize as of this moment and from now on for all of eternity, I have been placed in your hand." Okay, now everybody listen close, because your day is gonna come. So you say, well, how can people be believers and chase all this crazy stuff? How can people be believers and say there's no God, completely deny God? Ask Peter. It doesn't mean he had abandoned everything. It just meant for that moment he denied him. And you say, yeah, but that was just for a few minutes. Well, how long do you have to be denying for you to be denying? The consequences may be greater the longer it goes, but it's still the same thing, whether it's just a little time or a long time. You get put in God's hand. Who is bigger than God to come and say, "I'm prying your hand open and taking them back"? A day will come when you will say to yourself, "There is no way I can be doing this, thinking this, be involved with this, and be a Christian. I'm not even a Christian." You cannot cop out that way. You cannot get out of this God's hand once you're in his hand. And there are a lot of people who read you a bunch of verses and say, yeah, you can lose your salvation. You just show me who is going to open God's hand and get me out of it, and I'll entertain that. Let me read it again. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now, as squirrely as this sounds, and you'll say, yeah, but Richard, it's just semantics. I am never going to die. That is the coolest thought for me. You say, but what if your body stops working? It doesn't mean I died. I am not dying. I am going to go seamlessly from this body, this shell, into another shell just like that. I'm not dying. I'm not going to be sitting around going, well, what happened? To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. I will live forever. I am already living forever. Right now, right here. Now, my life's going to get better when I get out of this body, but I am not going to die. And this is what he says. My Father who has given them to me, he is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, I don't even get what I'm trying to explain to you completely, but there is an evil abortionist, so to speak, by the name of Satan. And his entire mission statement, and you've heard me say this over and over, every bumper sticker in hell says steal, kill, destroy. So when you turn on your radio and listen to a message, when you turn on your TV and the gospel's being proclaimed, when a friend pulls you aside at work and says, hey, come to a Bible study, or you get a text or an email or a voicemail, and the gospel somehow comes through your life and you say, I don't want to hear it, and I stiff arm it. The devil's job and all of his minions, all of his demons' job is when the message reaches you is to try to snatch it out of there and say, don't pay attention to that. Get away from those crazy people. You got a great life. You are going to suffer either way. It is just life. But it is so much better to suffer for doing the right thing than the wrong thing. Because there is hope on this side. There is peace along the way on this side. There is joy. There is love. There is all the fruit of the Spirit, all the benefits that come with just having somewhere to go with your sin, if nothing else, instead of carrying all that crap around the rest of your life. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's jump in, just for the sake of context, let's jump in here at verse 1. And this is Peter starting this whole thing by saying, beloved. So he is writing to Christians. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. So he says, I'm reminding you of what the Old Testament says, the prophets, and now what we have said to you, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, well, where is your Jesus? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget. They just premeditatedly forget. Now look at what they forget. And when you go here, you're in a bad place. You're in a heap of trouble. This they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Now, what is he saying? Jesus spoke words and stuff materialized. Now, he happened to take some dirt and form a man. That's the artistic side of creation there, where he actually takes some dirt and builds a man and then breathes life into him. But the rest of it is just words. All Jesus has to do is say, stars. Boom, stars. Planets. Everything. From the macro to the micro, all he's got to do is speak and stuff happens. So by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word. So Jesus spoke words, and this whole thing operates. When Jesus speaks again, it is not going to be good. He with one, it's like a really obedient dog, the whole universe. When the master says, stay, that dog will sit there until it dies sitting there. Jesus said what he said, and that's what you have. When he says something else, you better be ready when he speaks again. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. Now, why is it taking so long? And honestly, the older I get, the more impatient I'm getting. Because I'm running out of stuff to buy, I'm running out of places to go, I'm running out of things to do. This old place is getting a little old and boring to me already. You know what I'm saying? Why? Why does it take so long? You say, well, I don't feel that way. I haven't been here long. I still got some stuff to do. I understand how you feel that way. But the longer you live in that old body of yours, if it gets old, the more sick of this place you're going to get. Because you can't even come up with any new sins to commit. You're running out of sin. You got the same old sin. Is that all you got? Well, I don't want to do anything worse. Why not? You're good at that one. Let's try something else. Well, I don't want to live that way. Well, you want to live this way? Why not live that way? And yet we're here. And you say, well, I don't want to die either. I don't have a morbid thought. Well, Jesus, then just why don't you come back today? This would be a good day. What's wrong with today? I'm ready. You ready? Why didn't he come back? It's right here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He said he'd come back. He's coming back. As some count slackness, but what? He is long-suffering toward us. He is long-suffering toward us what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what the word all means in the Greek? Exactly. All. You say, yeah, but didn't the Bible talk about predestination and some are chosen, some aren't chosen? You know what? I didn't get that list. I don't know who those people are. So I figure I'm supposed to go after all. If that's who he's waiting on, is all, I'm waiting on all too. He said, yeah, but my father-in-law is a tough case. Raising the dead's hard no matter who's dead. Only Jesus can do that. So you keep praying and you keep loving and you say, Lord, there's a part of me love to get out of here today, love to have you come back today. But if you could just give me a couple more days for my father-in-law, if you could give me a couple more weeks for my brother, if you could hold off, I got people not going to go with us on that train. I'd just soon you wait. It's horrible, but as great as it's going to be, I don't want out of here. I'll get out alive, but they won't get out alive. So just hold on if you could. But look what it goes on to say in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. You say, well, so he wants all to be saved. So that's why the delay. But let me tell you something. Don't miscalculate. He says, but the day of the Lord will come. And it will come, it says here, as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now, one of the things I do love about Hollywood and special effects is they can make that happen. You watch these movies where tidal waves hit New York City, snowstorms, meteorites raining down on the earth. You know what? God's using Hollywood to warn a lot of people. They think, oh, it's just movies. It ain't just movies. The day is coming when this little speck of dust in the universe will be obliterated. And if you plan on getting off of this ball alive, you better get you some Jesus. And you say, well, I don't believe that. You will. And people say, well, Richard, you know, you're never going to reach anybody. Reading all this crazy stuff about the world being destroyed and people dying in sin. Nobody. I don't care. I'm not going to have to answer that. I'm going to have to answer whether I said it or not and warn it or not. And I'm not being mean. I'm not telling you to go to hell or to hell with you or any of that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, it's in here. You say, well, I don't believe that. You will. You're going to believe everything in the Bible before it's over. You will believe. You say, I'm not bowing down to any God. Yeah, you will. You will bow down. The book says that. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That's what's going to happen. I'd just assume you do it now and get out alive, then do it later dead. Keep reading. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, so everything you look around and go, this is all going to be gone, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, I don't scream and holler and bang and do all that stuff on the pulpit and sweat and keep a towel and, you know, all that mess, you know. So if I'm not animated enough, don't think I'm not animated. I don't know how to warn you except to read what the book says. And if you say, well, whatever. You can't live that way. And if you're a Christian and you still feel that way, I don't know what it takes. I still struggle. I went out of here sooner or later. I don't want to kill myself, and I got people that I'd like to take with me, so I don't want out today. But I don't want to grow cold. And there are times when my old embers get a little weak and the ashes seem to just cover them up like something's gone out. A lot of babies don't make it. They don't get out alive. You think, well, that's horrible, and it is horrible. They don't get a chance to live. And if you feel that way, you will be one of the biggest proponents of sharing the gospel on the planet. And if you get a girl pregnant, or you hear about a girl who's having a baby and there's even contemplation of that, you better speak up or forever almost lose your peace, because now you're an accomplice. At least speak the truth in love. Tell them you know people. If you don't know anybody, we'll help you. There are people who will adopt any kid that somebody will have. Promise you that. Couples all over the planet praying to God for a child, can't figure out why they can't have their home and willing to take somebody else's in. And what makes this so horrible is that it's a human being, it's a person, and they're in the dark and they don't even know what's going to happen to them, whether they'll get out alive or not. But we hope they'll get out alive. And even people who are not pro-life selectively want babies to be born and get out alive and make it. Nobody wants a baby born dead. It's a horrible thing when we choose for it to be horrible. So you take all those feelings and then you look at a person, a father-in-law, someone, and realize that they are in the dark. And if the enemy has his way, he'll kill them in the dark. He'll cut them to pieces. He will steal, kill, and destroy everything they have. And we step in and say, you may not believe this, you may not want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you again, that you can get out of here alive. And the only way I'm getting out is because of a God-man named Jesus who died on a cross and didn't get out alive of that situation. He didn't get out alive, didn't get off that cross alive so that I could get out alive. And he was buried, and he got out of that tomb alive. And you say, well, if I tell somebody that, Richard, same thing will happen to me that happens to you. You start talking about Jesus dying on the cross and you start crying. You know what? Maybe you should do some crying yourself. Have you ever stopped to think if you sat down with somebody and told it this way, they might think you actually believed it. No matter how bad a place I'm in, the thing I can never get over is that somebody died for me, and that somebody was God's own son. And that's just preposterous to me. It's just extraordinary.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Let me read you one other verse in 1 John chapter 5. Turn over there really quick. If you go to Revelation and back up a few pages, you'll see 3 John, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John chapter 5. And let's jump in at verse 10. This is what he said: he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, this is what God says, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life, period. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I am going to get out of here alive because I have life, and his name is Jesus, and I have Jesus, and everything's going to be all right.
because nobody can pluck me out of his hand. No matter how nasty it gets, it's going to be all right. What's your plan? How are you getting out of here alive, or are you? I think about that.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.